Welcome to It's Your World, I Just Live In It, a weekly podcast that discusses a variety of subjects. Hello everyone, Heather here. I'm excited for this week to be discussing something that is very near and dear to my heart, music, which actually then goes into concerts. So if you have never been to a concert, I hope today I can change your mind and you will go. I think I should go back to when it first became a huge deal for me that I was into music. I remember at night listening to the music to fall asleep. I would have my earphones on with my Walkman, and sometimes I would have one song that I would play over and over again, and you don't know the problems you have doing that if you've never experienced having a tape. And then sometimes the tape would stop working or get caught in your Walkman. And anyway, and during the early 90s, country music had shifted a little bit and we were becoming more of a household with it. Now, we had always listened to the staple ones such as Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton, but my mom had really fallen in love with Reba McEntire and she heard about a show that was going to be going on. So she decided to take me and my sisters to this show. And I think what drew me in first when I went to this concert was the amount of people. It blew my mind that so many would come for a show like that. And just looking around and soaking it all in, it was majestic. So we really started doing quite a few shows. I have to say country shows. We would see Faith Hill, Martina McBride, Toby Keith, and this was all while I was in junior high. So once junior high was ending, I have to admit, I am a product of the 90s. And when high school comes along, I didn't realize it, but I had shifted kind of more towards heading into the grunge era, but also classic rock. And at this time, when I was able to get my license, we had a Geo Tracker and it was a convertible. I will share a picture if you've never seen a Geo Tracker. And I love this thing. We called it the Dalton Mobile. There's a whole reason behind it, but I had a tape player in there, and the dashboard had a section that you could set stuff in, and it was where I would put my tapes. But the reason I had so many cassette tapes, folks, is because I was part of Columbia House. Yes, if you did not know what Columbia House Penny Club was, you would pay like so much for a set fee for a tape, later becoming CDs. And then you would get the rest of them for a penny. So I remember doing that. I remember my uncle used to have a ton of those. And so that is how I built my quote unquote tape collection. But in that same time, CDs were starting to come out. So you had to transition over to CDs, just like people that had records had to go into 8-tracks, which didn't last that long, which thank God, because they were huge. Then you went into tapes, then you went into CDs. And now, you just have it all online. It was something that I got to finally really put myself into what I was picking to listen to, which really was a lot of classic rock. CCR, Creedence Clearwater, The Doors, Janis Joplin, The Eagles, Led Zeppelin, The Beatles, loved all of them. I also was still loving country, Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks was huge. In the 90s, you just heard all about Garth Brooks. And at first I was like, what is the big deal? And then I listened to some of his music and I understood why. And then I was random too. I loved movie soundtracks, which I was very fortunate because when I was in high school, Dazed and Confused came out. Folks, that soundtrack is amazing. I still love that soundtrack to this day. Tons of great classic rocks. I mean, the opening of that movie was Sweet Emotion from Aerosmith. You can't top it. So I definitely had my dash changed with tapes all the time. And the tracker was a convertible and it was a plastic top, which if anybody really looked, they could just unzip the back and crawl in and take my tapes, but they didn't, thank God. So that is how I started really kind of growing my music collection, growing into what I loved musically. I'm going to be honest, I am not a huge rap person. My friends know this, maybe know a handful of rap songs. The extent of my rap collection is Will Smith. a song might come on, and I realize that this is going to shock some people, especially with the generation I'm from. I don't know if it's Tupac. I don't know. I don't know that music. It just wasn't anything that I was drawn to. So just as some people are not drawn to mine, which is fine. Okay, so I did not go to college. I went to beauty school. So when my friends were down at IU, I felt fortunate enough that I got to experience somewhat of college life, if you will, without having to pay the tuition or do the homework. They were going on spring break, 1999, going to Panama City, and they invited me. I was so excited. So I took that week off work. I was officially now doing hair at this point. And I remember going and taking my CD boombox, loaded up on a lot of D batteries, which, again, I'm going to have to share pictures. I'm sure they still sell D batteries, but you know, it's just not something I buy that often. But my God, if I had had stock, I would have bought in batteries, because the amount that I bought, again, the car I got after high school only had a push button radio. It didn't even have a tape deck. So I would take my boombox and put batteries in there and listen to it. Yeah, this was how much I had to have my music. All right, so we're down in Panama City and got my boombox playing, and this song, I've heard it a couple of times. My one friend keeps playing the CD, and I finally say to her, I'm like, who is this? And she said, it's the Dave Matthews Band. And I was somewhat familiar with them. I had heard Crash in high school, and then that song Ants Marching, which I have to be honest, I did not love at the time. But this one song, I just couldn't stop listening to. And I remember coming back, and I went out to Best Buy because I just didn't feel like I was going to be able to find their CD that I wanted locally, like at Target, or Musicland wasn't there anymore. I didn't think to go into Supersound, so I'm going to go out to Best Buy because they had such a huge selection. And when I got there, I kept forgetting the band's name. I kept wanting to say the Steve Miller Band. I knew it was a guy's name, and it wasn't. And so I finally remembered it was Dave Matthews, and I bought that CD. And that summer, some of my other friends had really started liking that band as well too, and they were going down to Deer Creek in Noblesville, Indiana. I will always call it Deer Creek. It has a new name. It's always going to be Deer Creek to me. And I know that Dave, now you must understand, when I talk about Dave, I'm talking about Dave Matthews. In my head, we're on a first name basis, all right? But he still calls it Deer Creek. Anyway, they were going down there, and my sister said, you should come. So this is the one thing that I love about being younger. You're just like, I should go. I'm gonna go. So we had to wait until I got off work, and then we were gonna drive down. So I went the night before into Supersounds to buy a ticket, because you couldn't go online. You had to go into stores to buy tickets at this time. And I got my ticket, and it was lawn. And we headed down. For some reason, I thought it would be cool if we put on this glitter lotion from Bath & Body Works. I have no idea why, but we pretty much looked like strippers when we were walking into the concert. I had my backpack with my blanket and all this other stuff. Circa reminding me of when we went to see Reba McEntire. Yeah, you know, not even the case. You don't take that. But I didn't know that. So we get there, and it was not anything I ever expected. It was so much more. I think when you see a band like that playing, when you have an appreciation of music and you see them playing, the love that they have for music is shown when they're playing. And I see that in the other bands that I love. But this was truly incredible. And after that, I was hooked. My obsession started. As you listen to this podcast, you're going to figure out I get some obsessions. I probably should see somebody, but at least I admit it. Anyway, well, we were there, and I kept wanting him to play two-step, and he did not play it that night. Now, I did not know that he would do multiple concerts. I didn't know how it worked at that time. You know, I was a newbie to it. So that was 1999, summer of 2000. Folks, that summer I lived my almost famous life. And again, if you've not seen that movie is one of my all-time favorites. I have two favorite movies. That is one of them. Because it explains everything of what you feel when you love concerts, music, bands, everything. There is this one line that the one character Sapphire says to one of the band members because some things have shifted, and she is sitting there and she is so upset about some things, and she says, "They don't even know what it is to be a fan, you know? To truly love some silly little piece of music or some band so much it hurts." I have never, after watching that movie, I watched it again. That movie is a true story based on Cameron Crowe, who followed Led Zeppelin around. Cameron Crowe directed the movie. And it was about his life writing for Rolling Stone. It captured so much of everything you were feeling at that time. And people that still follow, whether it be Dave, whether it be Grateful Dead, whether it be Fish, when you find somebody who loves a band like that, you instantly, it's like you're drawn together because you have that love and that experience, and you can't stop talking about it. So I started following Dave that summer, and I remember camping 3 days in the heat, no showers. And the second night, the show at the end, I had run into some friends that I knew that I had met at IU, and we were able to sneak down on the lower pavilion. And all through the night, off in the distance, I could see that there was thunder and lightning. And mind you, it was so hot. I hadn't showered. I was disgusting. And all of a sudden, Dave started playing two-step. Now, most of the time when he plays two-step, he begins it a certain way, and he'll change the first part of the lyrics. And he went into this part where he said, "The storm is coming now. And hand to God, it started lightning, thundering, and pouring down rain." I have that still to this day on CD, my friend, because here's another thing. Dave Matthews at the time would allow you to record the concerts. He would let you bring equipment in to record. So then people would put it on the internet, and my friend was really good at looking that stuff up, found it. And that show is the show that I always, always, always remember. It was so incredible. The lineup, everything was so incredible. And mind you, I still had another day to go to another show. Plus, I'm not going to lie, it felt really good to run out in the rain because I was so hot. Well, went to a lot of shows that summer. And it started a whole different perspective for me of so many things. I mean, I actually considered trying to look into how I could work for the Dave Matthews Band. I mean, this is just how I'm such a dreamer like that I'm like, what can I do that? So I looked it up because I was very curious. And I know I'm not alone because I have so many friends that I go to concerts with, and I love that. And there was an article that I read in Melodic Magazine and by Lauren Armoureau. And there is, she said, there is a science to why we love concerts. Our brain values experiences over material possessions. That is so true. I personally, this is me, I wouldn't think twice about spending more money on a concert to go than I would, let's say, a vacation or an outfit or a purse or getting my hair done, something like that. I'd rather have that. That's me. And that's where I feel a lot of people that go to a lot of shows, they're the same way too. That you can go into this place and escape and have a couple hours with your favorite band and people that become your best friends and not think about anything. Concerts also have amazing physical benefits. It reduces your stress. It lowers your cortisol levels. And cortisol is released when you have a lot of stress, which can give you a lot of issues. It can start affecting your thyroid. And when you have a lot of stress, then, I mean, this can affect you in so many other ways. But when you're there, the stress is just released. You don't, all you can do is just sit back and escape in that time. And I'm not even talking rock concerts, you guys. I'm talking any concert. I'm talking if you go see the Philharmonic. Music, being at a venue and having that time gives you that escape, and that is what you need. It also is better for your emotional well-being because it is a community event. So it allows you to be with people that love that music as much as you do, that look forward to that time, that can be themselves 100%, that you can go back to being that when I was that 21-year-old at a concert, just being free, not having a cell phone, not having any way of finding my friends except saying we're meeting at this spot, but you don't care. You're not worried about taking a video on your phone. You're just taking the moment in your memory. And that is something that is so magnetic. So the other thing is, it is a strong bond that forms between you and friends for this. I have a couple of people I go and see concerts with. They are my concert people. And I love that. I love that we have formed our friendship even stronger because of that. That we can talk about bands and music and be like, oh my gosh, yeah, did you hear this? Or I love this. Oh, I've not really loved that one as much, or I'm not getting that one as much. And you can go to it and you just sit back and you love it. And those truly are some of my most favorite memories. They're cherished. I love them. I would not trade it. Now, there are some concerts that I don't want to go to. I'm going to give you an example. Several years ago, some of my friends wanted to go see Eminem up in Detroit, and they were going to make a weekend of it. I didn't want to miss out, but I'm not an Eminem fan. So I said, you know what? I'll go up with you guys, and the night you guys go to the concert, I'm not going to go to the concert. I'll just do something else. And another one of my friends didn't want to go to the concert either. So while they went to the show, we just stayed back. I'm not going to lie. I think that we might have had a little bit of a better time. It was a little bit crazy at the concert, but whatever. So that was, I still was okay. I'm not going to go just to go and be with my friends, because I know that I have done this in the past, that I've kind of tried to force my love of the Dave Matthews Band on people. They're not going to understand it sometimes to the level that I am, and that's fine. At the time, I didn't get it, but now I'm just like, it is what it is, whatever. Concerts allow you to be yourself, and I completely agree. There's nothing more that I feel more comfortable at than going to a concert. I literally just sit there and sway, and I'm in my own little world, and I love that. And talking with people around you, I love talking when I go to, especially a Dave show, to see where people all have been to, because there's been some venues I've not gone to, and we love to talk about that, and where they've gone, how long they've done it, and it's so fun to hear some of their stories with that. The memories last a lifetime. They really do. They are something that, yeah, some of my memories are a little sketchy, but I do love that. I need this to be said that my dream is to have a Volkswagen van that I drive around to different concerts. And it will happen one day. I know it will. There is such a unique energy that is given off at a show. I can't explain it until you experience it. And I will share on my Instagram page some of the unique opportunities that I've had being close at shows, because it is something that even though you're there, you're just like, I can't believe I'm here. I can't believe I'm seeing this. This is what I listen to. And I think because you listen to it and you sometimes relate it to something that's going on at that point in your life, that you're so drawn in and the feelings that come out, whether it be happiness, whether it be sadness. I mean, I have laughed, I've cried at shows because certain songs really get to you that you didn't expect it to grab at you like that. And I love that. So some of the bands, now listen, I can't remember them all. I was sitting here trying to rack my brain, and it's pretty bad that I can't remember all the people I've seen. And until sometimes I hear it, I'm like, oh yeah, I saw them in concert. I used to keep all my concert tickets, and I actually did something neat with some of them that I still have. When I was in my 20s, I liked to move. It was really annoying to my family. I lost a whole set of tickets, and it breaks my heart because I can't remember who was all in there. And so it just, now you don't generally get tickets, which I kind of miss that, but you know, it just is how the times have changed. So I was trying to think back and I tried to go forward, and I've obviously mentioned some of the artists that I saw earlier, but I've been very blessed. And I'm gonna start with some of them that I've seen. I remember I went and saw Brian Setzer Orchestra, who opened for Bob Dylan out in Notre Dame. I remember I went to beauty school with a girl, and she loved Bob Dylan. And I'm like, why do you like Bob Dylan? Oh my God, why? And it was pretty naive of me. And again, I was still learning music. And it wasn't until I was dating this one guy, and he was a huge Bob Dylan fan, that I really started listening to his music. And I just was thinking, why did I not want to listen to Bob Dylan? I mean, seriously. But I don't think people understand how much Bob Dylan truly has done, not only for his music, but written for other people. I don't think people know that. I mean, he's an artist in his own for that. So lucky I got to see that man. Okay, so some of the other ones that I have seen, I got to see Prince. And I will say this much, I had no idea how good of a guitar player Prince was. And I've seen some amazing guitar players. But when that man played guitar, wow. And I had a whole new look towards him after that. Because I only knew like the few songs that I heard him do. And I was just like, oh, okay, he's going to do, you know, Red Corvette and Diamonds and Pearls. And then you see him playing this and you're like, what? I think he played While My Guitar Silently Weeps. And I think he played that when I saw him, but it was incredible. Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. So this, I mean, these guys, come on. I mean, you can't beat that. They went to Woodstock. That's my dream, to travel back in time and go to Woodstock. Red Hot Chili Peppers. I have to say, I was a little bummed about this show because they didn't play as long as I had hoped, but my friends and I still had a great time. We had funny stories afterwards, so it was all. They played fantastic. They sounded great. I had hoped they'd play longer. So I also went to this Eric Clapton Crossroads, and this was an all-day event, folks. It was in July, hotter than hell, and I'm saying that because it was. They were running low on water, and I finally found a place that sold iced tea. This is how bad it was. I was continually drinking the whole day. I only went to the bathroom once because that's how hot it was. But he had so many people there. These are just a few. All right, so he had Buddy Guy, Sheryl Crow, Johnny Lang, John Mayer, Bill Murray was the announcer, Keith Richards, B.B. King, Ronnie Wood, Vince Gill, Billy Gibbons, Greg Allman, Steve Winwood, Jeff Beck, Beth Hart, Gary Clark Jr., oh, he's awesome, Steve Cooper, Warren Hayes, Jimmy Vaughn, Robert Cray, James Burton, Albert Lee. These are just some of the people, you guys, that were at this festival. It was mind-blowing. The next morning, my friends and I went to go get coffee, and as we're waiting in line, we see Jimmy Vaughn, who is Stevie Ray Vaughan's brother, and I just went up and thanked him. I said, thank you. Thank you for that incredible show. He was so nice. And then we look out, and I was convinced it was Clapton that was pulling up in this white bus, because I just thought that would be his. But it was actually B.B. King's. And so he was being wheeled out, and he was talking to people, saying hi. And so I went up to him to shake his hand. I am so stupid, but I said to him, I live where you get your diabetic strips. Who says that to B.B. King when you meet him? I did. I kick myself to this day for being so dumb about it. But I think I was so overwhelmed, I didn't know what to do. So it's just kind of a funny thing with that. So that was such an amazing event to go to. Dixie Chicks, they're now known as the Chicks. They put on a phenomenal show. If you can see them, I would highly recommend it. Poison, funny story. Poison came to South Bend, in the early 2000s. And I knew hair bands. I was actually more Guns N' Roses and Bon Jovi. I knew some Poison, didn't know them super well. Well, we went to the show and managed to get backstage because of one of my friends being very diligent with her efforts to get back there. And then we managed to party with Bret Michaels. In fact, we partied with them twice because we followed them to another place. They do put on a really fun show. It is fun. I know that they're touring, I think, with Def Leppard and Joan Jett, I believe, and it had to be rescheduled. So if you get a chance, I would recommend it. It is a fun show. And you know what? He was very nice. Very, very nice. He did not take off his bandana, but he was very nice. So then saw Steve Miller Band. There is a really neat venue outside of Chicago called Ravinia. And you could take a picnic and you can get there at a certain time of the day, sit out there all day, and then the concert comes on that night. They have incredible artists there. They have Tony Bennett there, has gone there. Steve Miller Band goes there. I know that they have Hall & Oates. It is a great venue. So I would recommend, if you want a fun event to go to, look up Ravinia in Chicago and you will be amazed with what they have. OAR started opening for Dave quite a bit. And I'm not going to lie, I wasn't at first big on going in and seeing the opening bands, but now I really enjoy doing that because you get to see some people that are really just maybe right on the cusp of busting out, and to see them when they're just starting is really kind of fun. So that was, I love OAR. They put on a great show. So Pearl Jam, then Jason Mraz, Susan Tedeschi and the Trux Band, Brian Setzer, like I had mentioned. Then the ones that were huge for me. So I remember hearing for years about Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Now, I liked Tom Petty, I did, but I can't say I was just this diehard fan. But everybody said, and I mean this from anyone that saw him in concert, said that he put on a remarkable show. So he was going to be playing at Wrigley Field. So I went with a couple of my friends. And I don't know what happened to my videos from that night. I wish I still had them. I do not have them. That show, still to this day, one of the best concerts I have ever gone to. And all I remember thinking is I can't wait to go see him again because I have his station now on my Sirius. And that year that I saw him is the year that he passed away. And it still gets me that I was so lucky to see that band perform like that. It was so much better than I could have ever expected. You guys, it was so much better. So after that comes Fleetwood Mac. And I got a text from my friend. Her sister is a diehard Fleetwood Mac fan. I love Fleetwood Mac. But I knew going and seeing them was just going to solidify it to a whole new level. And let me tell you, folks, it did. First of all, the fact that you're seeing these people at the ages that they are, rocking out and still sounding so freaking awesome. Lindsey Buckingham was not there. It still was incredible. I remember my friend went and saw them 20 plus years ago and became obsessed with Stevie Nicks. I completely understand why. I get it. That woman is a queen. She is end all be all in my book. Gypsy soul, love her to the end of the world. I have another friend that is her queen, and I get it. She is magnetic. You can't help but love it. All right, so then we're going into Foo Fighters. This one, I did not know that I would fall in love with them this much, but I saw them play on, it was PBS, which PBS plays a lot of stuff. They do Austin City Limits, which Austin City Limits is a great experience that I need to get to, but to watch it, you get to see some of these artists. But PBS was airing this thing that the Foo Fighters they were playing for Barack Obama at the White House, and they played Band on the Run, which was by Paul McCartney when he was in Wings. I love that song, but I saw that and I'm like, oh my God. And so I remember talking to one of my friends at work about it, and she's like, yeah, I love the Foo Fighters. And I said, I don't really know them. I need to listen. And I was so stupid. I didn't realize it was Dave Grohl from Nirvana. Duh. So started listening to Foo Fighters. And then I went to see them in concert. And they are the other band that I can go an insane amount to between them and Dave Matthews. Absolutely love the Foo Fighters. Taylor and Dave, they did a series a couple years ago. This was actually really interesting documentary that they did. And it went around to a different city and how it impacted and what it did for music. And it was the whole band, and then Dave would be talking to people and how each musician, so it would be Austin, Chicago, Los Angeles, Nashville, New Orleans, New York, Seattle, and Washington, D.C. And they were an hour long. and they would talk to these legends and then use what they learned and make a song about it. And that, I love that album. It was really neat. And then this brings me back to Dave Matthews Band. So these are my boys. I love them. Sadly, we lost LeRoy in an ATV accident, complications after that. And Boy Tinsley, the violinist, is no longer with them due to some charges or allegations made against him, I guess you could say. Which it saddens me because I feel so lucky to have been able to see him perform, and especially to see somebody be playing the violin the way that he does. I mean, that's just insane to me that somebody can be up there in a rock band doing that. So now with the whole Dave Matthews Band, the whole group that they have, Dave brought on Tim Reynolds, and he is full-time now. And they used to do Dave and Tim. They used to just do acoustic sets, and I've seen them, and it's incredible. Tim Reynolds, his guitar skills are out of this world. Carter Beauford, he's the drummer, and he has this smile that you can see him chewing gum and jamming out on those drums. And I will say something, you are not going to see a drummer like that guy. Oh my gosh. Stefan Lessard is the bass guitarist, and he was very young when he joined Dave Matthews Band. Jeff Coffin is the saxophonist. He took over for LeRoy Moore. Rashawn Ross, who is trumpet. Now you have Buddy Strong, who is on the keyboard. So I think with that being said, this is a unique group. You've got horns, you've got bass, you've got keyboard. And what they do is they feed off of each other. And I know I've had friends and they're like, oh, is he going to play a song for 12 minutes? Yes, sometimes he does. Sometimes he plays a song for 12 minutes. And I love that. Because to hear somebody that they are there playing a song and they can read off of each other and just keep doing that, I don't know how they do it. Not to mention their lighting crew, how they get all of that correct. That's incredible to me. They aren't the same as other musical bands that I know of, because each night they do a different set. They never do the same set twice. And that's why on their fan club, if you only go to one night, you can check to see that set list and then see, okay, I think he might do this or if this. And it's really kind of fun because that's how I could go to so many shows in a row. And you just don't think twice about it. Honestly, I wouldn't care if they did do the same show two nights in a row, but that's why you're able to go to those shows. I've not ever been to Fish or Grateful Dead to know if that is the same situation for them. I'm guessing so. And that's why you kind of find almost a cult following with it, if you will. And I think when it comes to concerts, there's something about it that nobody knows how they're going to feel until they go and experience one. And I realize that it can be overwhelming with a lot of people. And sometimes there's concerts you go to and you just sit. That's fine. Just go and see some live music. And I think this last year has taught us anything, is that we need live music. We need that time to get away. These are some of the personal concerts I've gone to, how music has influenced my life, and how I love concerts. And I hope that if you have never gone to one, if you've always considered it, please do it. Please consider doing it and cherish the memories, because there's something that is always going to be there in the back of your mind and you can laugh. I mean, I have so many stories. I'll just have to do an episode one time where I tell the stories of my concerts, because they are pretty good. And I don't think about him until I start talking about some things, and then I giggle thinking about it. So I love that I have that in my life and that I've done that, because it just makes me feel young and lively and happy. So until next time, just always remember, it's your world. I just live in it. It's Your World and I Just Live in It is written, edited, and produced by Heather Dickey.